everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report, actually episode number 69, for Wednesday, September 13th, 2023. And of course, this show, as always, is sponsored by TLVTalk.com. Come and say what needs to be said. The show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLV, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who we will say hi to in a minute. Let me get through this. I'm going to be very quick with the intro today, because I do have a guest in the second half hour, but I do have some information I would like to put out in the first half hour. So the title of today's show is Democrats, False Flags, and 2024 Elections. Let me say that again. Democrats, False Flags, and 2024 Elections. Yeah, it all fits together in some fashion, and we will get to that. Okay, again, the mission of this show is for communicating truths and facts in an ever-increasing, forbidding, a country that just doesn't like you to know everything you should know anymore. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie, who is a personal friend of mine for many years, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlow Radio. Do me a favor. You want to keep them online? Donate to these platforms. Each and every one of them is worth it. Stephen, how are you today? That's the shortest intro I've done, isn't it?
It certainly is.
I got two more points to make, but yeah.
Well, I'm a little tired, but I'm here today.
Well, I'm glad you're here today. And I'm hoping that you can stay awake for the whole show. All right, I was joking. You did say a little tired, right?
That's right.
Okay. All right. So now, first off, I'm going to say this again. I'm not going to beat it up like I usually do. Our mission is to keep you armed with vital truths, as well as to give you a platform where you can go to without censorship or exclusion. That's TLV Talk. A link to any references used in the show or any articles or portions of articles will be in the article this show is embedded in every single Thursday on the LibertyBeacon.com by noon Central Time. The first half hour of this show, I will present info relating to the title, Democrats, False Flags, and 2024 Elections. In the second half, I will present friend, author, and TLB contributing writer Joseph M. Lennard, and we will talk about that a little bit more after the half hour break. So let's get down to business. Title of the show again today is Democrats, False Flags, and 2024 Elections. So let me give you my opening comments. Russia, Russia, Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. Russiagate this. Russiagate that. How many years did we go through that knowing it was an absolute farce? Something we had thrown in our faces for how long? Stirring up a country and convincing voters that Trump was evil and a traitor. This is not a pro-Trump show, people. It's about what has happened in America. And if you don't like your political rivals, let's pull third world America out of the closet, because that's where you live today, people. And we will be hitting those points. So again, Russia, 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 something thrown in our face for years. Stirring up a country and convincing voters that Trump was evil and a traitor. But it was all a hoax. Not one single charge stuck. Nothing they've thrown at Trump to date has stuck. It is not there to put him in jail. What is it there for? Well, if they can find a crooked enough judge, maybe to get him in jail. But if not, how about to keep him from running for president? Or to keep him so busy that he cannot run they want him to lose so bad. What are they willing to do? But if it was all a hoax, a false flag, so to speak, then what was it for? It was to rally a nation against a chosen elected leader. That's not a joke. Okay. When have you ever seen anything like this in America? You haven't. And we could go on. Two impeachment trials, a stolen election, and now a massive onslaught of false flag accusations meant to to tie Trump up so tightly that he won't even be able to participate in the elections. Too busy in court. Yeah. He won't be able to, let's say, participate effectively. Effectively enough to win, or he will be by some corrupt judge, which may not hold up, but we won't find that out till after the election. Some corrupt judge may disqualify him from running for president at all. And they are trying their damnedest to do that. And how are they doing it? When I use the term false flags, most of you blink, okay? It's all based on lies. It's all based on deceit. We know this. You can't throw hundreds of claims of somebody breaking a law at somebody, tie them up day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and never get a conviction? Come on, people. What else do you call it? We the people, what do we call it? Okay? This is all based on lies and deceit against we the people. One massive, ongoing, distracting false flag event, or a never-ending series of them back to back. Now, for everybody blinking because I keep using the term false flag, what's a false flag? A false flag is a hostile or harmful action. Gee, does this qualify? Hostile action, such as an attack. Maybe not a physical attack, but what about a lawfare attack that is designed to look like it was perpetrated by someone other than the person or the group responsible for it? In other words, they are suing, they are filing complaints, they are taking Trump to court over and over again under accusations that it's all his fault. If he hadn't have done these things, there wouldn't be any need to take him to court. Does that fit the description I just gave you, people? Does that fit the description? Whereas the design, it is designed to look as if it was perpetrated by someone other than the persons or group responsible for doing it. But yet, they have zero convictions. And how many do you think they're going to get? And even if you find a crooked judge that's going to give you one conviction or maybe two, will they hold up in the next level of court or in the Supreme Court? I can tell you right now, more than likely not. And why, when they had 2.5 years to do all of this, is it being done right now? So let's read one more time the definition of a false flag. A hostile or harmful action, such as an attack, that is designed to look like it was perpetrated by someone other than the persons or group responsible for it. I don't care how you look at it, this fits. And it has been, I don't know, a close fit for 6 years now, 7 years now. So does this sound familiar to anybody listening? If you are guilty, okay, of something you wish, I don't know, was devious or tyrannical or even treasonous hidden. If you wish to have these actions you've committed hidden, why not blame your rival and in a way that creates the havoc that you can use to hide behind? Swap the blame over and create enough ruckus that nobody's looking at you. If Democrats are truly hoping to shake all the harm they have and continue to push down the throats, okay, from our minds, they would need to seriously up their game. Something big, something that can't be ignored, something that could be used as an excuse to declare a state of emergency, something that could or would justify the declaration of martial law, which would allow them to cancel the elections indefinitely or until they had full control of the political landscape in America again, which they don't have today. Not even close. Okay. But if they do this, what's the cost of something like that to we the people? And are the Democrats in a desperate enough position to do something like this? When's the last time anybody saw Joe Bob give any type of a speech that's more than 2 or 3 minutes where he didn't blow it, where he didn't mumble, where he didn't mispronounce, where he didn't look like he didn't remember where the hell he was? So what we're looking at today is a desperate Democratic Party. Because right now, due to all of the protectionism they have afforded Joe Bob and his family, there really isn't anybody else to run if Joe Bob doesn't run who has anywhere near the notoriety that would be necessary to beat someone like Trump. And that is something, guess what, that the Democrats have done unto themselves. So what do they need to get this state of emergency? Because what they actually need is something like martial law, which pushes the elections back indefinitely so that you can get your house in order, the one you spent the last 6 years destroying all around we the people. And believe me, it won't happen overnight. But this is what we're looking at, people. This is not a joke. The Democrats are getting desperate, and I'm not the only one talking about that. There's another guy named J. Robert Smith who has written an article I'm going to grab some pieces from. Why? Because he, who I have never met before, I probably have maybe read one of his articles in the last 15 years, but when I saw this, I'm going to give you some pieces from this article. They not only back up what I'm saying, but take it to the next level. Okay, so let's grab some pieces from an article written again by J. Robert Smith, who takes this more into focus and presents a very blatant and logical argument of what could be. And this is what I'm talking about. What could be? The title of his article is, "Will Democrats False Flag Us into War with Russia?" Listen to me. Because that's a whole lot closer to an inevitability than you think. And it's being pushed that way further and further on a daily basis. So let me say that again, okay? Will Democrats false flag us into a war with Russia? Written by J. Robert Smith. I'm going to give you some pieces from that. Mention the Ukraine war to most Americans and their eyes glaze over. A lot of folks can't even locate Ukraine on a map. A huge amount of folks. Yes, that's partly the fault of our educational system, which we know, and we will be doing another show on rather quickly, is failing us miserably. Historically, though, if it ain't happening here at home, it ain't happening. And this is the attitude of most Americans. If it ain't happening in my backyard, it ain't happening. Until the Lusitania sinks, or until Pearl Harbor is bombed. Vietnam was peripheral, pretty much out of everybody's vision until LBJ, Lyndon Johnson, and the military-industrial complex took advantage of the Gulf of Tonkin. In Tonkin incident. Only then did Americans grab the Rand McNally's to discover, hey, where the hell is Vietnam? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Only then did Americans grab the Rand McNally's. Then there was Iraq, Saddam, and weapons of mass destruction. But that was a short war and casualties were fewer. People barely had time to unfold their maps to find out where Iraq was. The Ukraine war is still blips on radars. Fortunately, more people oppose sending billions to Zelensky's corrupt regime. They're starting to wonder why Biden's handlers and dazed and confused Mitch McConnell, you know, give more of a damn about the Ukraine than Maui or East Palestine. These are American places. But yet, what we have is a corrupt regime and a very senior Republican senator all preaching about sending more money to the Ukraine, while Maui and East Palestine literally are almost forgotten. But you're not going to be allowed to forget about Ukraine. But those radar blips may soon balloon. Speculation is afoot that Democrats may provoke a hot war with Russia. A diversion is necessary for 2024. Again, this is an article by J. Robert Smith, who has done a little bit of research in these areas. Okay, some speculation exists that Democrats would ignite a major war with Russia to impose martial law and suspend elections. Gee, what did Roger tell you in his opening comment? That seems like a bridge too far. But then again, Democrats and their allies had no worries about rigging key state presidential contest to push doddering Joe Biden into the White House. Maybe the prospect of Donald Trump getting a second bite at the apple would drive Democrats to war. Look at what has been done. Look at what has been done. Look at the vaccine issues associated with COVID-19. Look at the lockdowns. Look at the masks. Each and every one of these are predicated on lies, massive lies that have done massive damage. Now you tell me that the people that have been in power for the worst 3 years in American history, modern American history, you tell me, okay, that these people wouldn't go to just about any length to hold on to that power. What have they done to you in the last 3 years? They have locked you into your house. They have forced you to take medication we knew could be deadly to us. We knew it. But if you wanted to keep your job or you wanted to go to school or you wanted, you damn right well better take it. This is what we are living under. And when you have acquired that much power, how easily do you feel, I don't know, comfortable relinquishing it? You don't. And anybody out there who thinks that the Democrats wouldn't consider a hot war with Russia to maintain absolute power over America, you're an idiot. Do some freaking homework. Look at the past 3 years, people. And you tell me the level of tyranny that was reached. You tell me it ever existed in this country when it wasn't a time of war. And what are we talking about here? A false flag to get it? Well, let's go on with that, okay? Tucker Carlson, appearing on Adam Carolla's podcast, seems to think that war is where Democrats are heading. This is per the Daily Caller on August 30th. They, Democrats, and of course, this is Tucker Carlson, okay? They, Democrats, need to declare war footing in order to assume war powers in order to win. I believe that, and I think that the evidence suggests this is true. So if you're worried about our politics getting like even more vicious than it already is and people being hurt in our politics, which is entirely possible, you should be worried about the prospect of an open, we're already in a war with Russia, of course, we are. We're funding their enemies, so we're fighting Russia. But I mean an open battle with Russia where we say we're at war with Russia. And these were Tucker Carlson's exact words. He just came back from where? He just talked to who? And he's seeing things that you're not being told about. The problem with someone like Tucker, and he's already been warned, you better watch what transportation you take, because how long you live now depends on how careful you are. There are actually articles online discussing how much trouble is Tucker actually in now. But he did step up to say something I not only totally believe, but I've been discussing for at least a year. Democrats seem increasingly uneasy about their election prospects. Polling is trending the wrong way. Biden slides deeper into dementia. Kamala Harris is a laughingstock. Joe's handlers have messed up everything. Families struggle to pay bills. Why? Energy costs are through the roof. Chiefly, it's ridiculous to call the U.S.-Mexican border a border. Even in New York City, a compassionate sanctuary city, Mayor Eric Adams is crying uncle. Cities, Democrat turf, are descending deeper into crime and squalor. Donald Trump looms like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man above everything, despite multiple sham indictments. Again, what has he been found guilty of? And there are estimated there could be as many as 400 indictments. A false flag incident, say a fake Russian incursion into Poland, might be in the offing. Wars are often go-to diversions for troubled regimes. You know, rally around the flag stuff. Forget about all those Democrat-imposed woes. It's our patriotic duty, comrades, to sacrifice. Let's go kill some Huns. Never mind how many of us would also be killed. To date, plenty of neocons, rhinos, and DC foreign policy and deep state defense establishmentarians are content fighting a proxy war with Russia. The carnage, overwhelmingly Ukrainian, is a trifle compared to achieving a geopolitical end, diminishing Russia, which is what the West wants. The aforementioned wish to cripple, if not overthrow, Putin. Of course, why wonder about Putin's replacement? Why would we even wonder about that? Someone who could actually turn out to be worse than Putin. Lusting Western oligarchs. The equivalent of Russia's want their grubby paws on Russia's vast natural resources. All of these people in Russia, okay? We haven't vetted any of them, but yet we want to get rid of the guy who's sitting at the top of the totem pole. Just hobbling Putin won't suffice. It won't solve our problems. But there are already those thinking in that direction. The U.S. provoked proxy war is a grab for power and wealth. Lest we forget, the military-industrial complex is lining its pockets off the war, depleting U.S. military stockpiles in the process. The defense industry makes sure to spread around some of its profits. Are you kin, a donor, or an ally of a member of Congress or retired military brass? Cushy gigs await. Campaign donations flow like mother's milk. I worked for the military-industrial complex. How many of you remember that? For well over 20 years. Do I understand what's being said? Yes, I do. Claims that the Ukraine war is a gallant fight for democracy is Wilsonian tripe. A Russian blitzkrieg to Berlin is as likely as Joe Biden being indicted. Putin has stated repeatedly, beginning years ago, that invading Ukraine would be and is a matter of Russian national security. NATO in Ukraine is a non-starter, but U.S. and Western allies paid no heed. Would the U.S. have tolerated a Warsaw Pact nation taking over Canada or Mexico? That's exactly what happens when NATO takes over Ukraine. But yet we balk at the idea of what? NATO marching right into their backyard and taking over their back porch. This is a fact, people. Ukraine lies on Russia's southern flank and borders the strategically important Black Sea, which contains Crimea, Russian territory historically. Crimea contains Sevastopol. I think that's the way it says, the key warm water port for the Russian Navy. Russia wasn't about to permit Crimea being incorporated into a NATO state. Again, what the hell would the United States have done if a Warsaw Pact nation had taken over Canada or Mexico? We needn't spend a lot of virtual ink recapping the Democrats' attempts to destroy Trump during his presidency. Much of it revolved around Russia, 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 and it was a nutty, fabricated claim. This is the author speaking, not Roger. In fairness to Democrats, though, let's be fair, much of the drivel about U.S. attentions in Ukraine and about Russia flows copiously from the mouths of establishment Republicans, like House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Michael McCaul. He's a Republican from Texas. His district lies northeast of the U.S.-Mexican border and outlies San Antonio. You'd think this guy would focus more on the border, given the illegals literally invading the United States. When you have millions crossing a border in less than 3 years, many millions, that is not a border crossing. That is an invasion, people. And how many of them do not have the best interest of the United States at heart? How many of them were sent here specifically to be put in place for when the time comes? And we'll go over that in another show too. That invasion not only impacts Texas, but it impacts the entire country. And Joe Bob has totally ignored it. And Joe Bob, even, I don't know if he ordered it, but how many of you heard that the gates were welded open down at the border? Welded open so that they could not be closed. Look, rumors about sparking a war with Russia aren't centered on any one individual, okay? And not just DC, but throughout major institutions, public and private. In terms of power, they're close to their zenith. They don't intend to forfeit their power without a brawl, some way, somehow. And if this is the only way the Democrats, the liberals, the deep state in America who owns the Democratic Party, if this is the only way they can keep power, how many times over the last 3 years have you heard Roger say they may be willing to do anything, including declaring martial law to what? To stop future elections. This isn't a joke, people. As Joe Bob continues to run his mouth, as Kamala continues to embarrass herself and the United States on the world stage, more and more Democrats are in full-fledged panic. We have seen one false flag after another until this country is so beaten down right now. We live in more tyranny than we ever have since we were not a country. Not a joke, people. And if the Democrats or the liberals or the deep state that owns them are at a point where they may even start a hot war with Russia, what's to say they can control that? What are the two biggest nuclear weapons powers on the planet? We'll talk about this more as time goes along. And you've got to remember, it's over a year before that election, right? There's a lot that can happen. Do I believe a false flag will be used to stop the election? Yes, I do. Do I necessarily believe it's a hot war with Russia? I think this guy makes a lot of sense. It's a possibility. But there are other possibilities, and we will discuss those as well. And they are each as prominent and as possible as the one we discussed today. What we are looking at is America under the in the grip of tyranny beyond what we have ever seen. And my guest, okay, Joseph M. Lennard, will discuss this with me, and we will put forward our views after the break. Steve, are we ready for a break? And have you got anything to say on what I presented here?
No, we can take a break here. My voice is okay, a little crackly anyways.
All right, my friend, thank you.
Okay, see you back here in 60 seconds, everyone.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, everybody. As I promised you, second half hour, I would bring in a guest, somebody who I have a good friendship with over the years that I've known him, which hasn't been all that long. Again, my guest for today is Joseph M. Lenard. Joseph is a former IT professional, a former writer for Super Simple Computer Enterprises, Red State, Grassfire, and Rattle With Us, Michigan Tea Party, where he was a writing committee chairman and others. Joseph is currently a political issues blogger, vlogger, speaker, writer, etc. He is currently a content provider at Before It's News and one of our favorite content providers at the Liberty Beacon. Joseph is also the author of Terror Strikes Coming to a City Near You, or Coming Soon to a City Near You, and How to Write a Book and Get It Published, as well as one more publication. He just published his third book, which I will let him tell you about. Welcome, Joseph, and how are you today, my friend?
As I always say, remember, it could always be better, but it could often be worse. But before we get into that, I would like to make a couple of drive-by shots at your top of the hour subject. Of course, you know me. I have a tendency to piss off everybody, all sides in some way, shape, or form. And bear with me, audience, because I'm likely to piss off some of you with the way I'm going to start the way I approach that last half hour. This has been floating the notion of this entire millennia. You go back to Bush Cheney. The left was constantly saying, oh, Bush Cheney, they're fascists, they're tyrants. They're going to use the war on terror as an excuse to suspend the election. Didn't happen, right? Obama, it was another thing, right? The fear of the Muslim. Well, then Obama confirmed out of his own mouth, him being a Muslim, several times about his Islamic faith, and including one saying that if the winds of war change, he would side with Islam over Christianity. So, but at the end of Obama, they didn't, you know, the right said, oh, Obama's going to suspend the elections, cancel the elections, you know, but the left had no inkling of doing that because they were laughing at Trump. They thought Trump was a joke. They thought Hillary was going to waltz in a landslide and continue the Obama Cloward and Piven destruction of America. And then he won. And they panicked, and we saw what happened in 2020. And 2022 shows they are indeed going to need and are more desperate. Their desire and craven lust for power. 2022, despite their efforts through the courts to gerrymander via liberal activist judges, house districts, in the redistricting process to hold the House for Biden, they lost it. And if not for shenanigans again in Georgia and Arizona, they would have lost the Senate also. So they are indeed very, very desperate. Like following the Civil War, their desperation led to the assassination of Lincoln because VP Johnson was a Democrat, the unity ticket. Lincoln was talking about reparations, 40 acres and a mule, and Johnson, after they killed Lincoln, went soft on the Democrat South.
Well, if you stop to consider that, all led up to the Act of 1871 also. So,
yeah.
And that is a whole different story. But, yeah, if you could zip through that, because there's a couple of things I would really like to discuss with you. So, is that the end of your time?
Yeah, you know what? Their desperation is palpable.
Yes.
So, well, is different. This time, it could actually come about. They're that desperate. They would be willing, I believe, red meat to your audience, but I say it because I believe it, not just because I want to throw red meat. They are willing to risk the threat of nuclear war in order, as Sun Ji said, an evil man will burn his own nation to the ground to rule over the ashes. And remember, this isn't unprecedented. Well, we've never suspended the presidential election. But, and many will be surprised, I'm not a partisan hack, so let me throw Lincoln under the bus here temporarily. Look what he did in the name of I'm a war president, suspended habeas corpus and other shortcuts, violations. And of course, World War II, FDR, wartime president. Look what he did.
Yep. No, I agree with all of that. And again, that was the entire first half of the show. Are they desperate enough to do this? And yes, they are. And can they do it alone? No, they can't. But will they have... probably, if they attempt to do this, will they have some rhinos in there? Yeah, I think you know about that. I think you've written enough about rhinos. I think you've probably written more about rhinos than most people. But let me wrap this up real quick because I want to present something else to you and I want you to take it and run with it. The entire first half of the show and what you just heard from Joseph and myself is all about one thing, people, all right? That is a party that has committed so much tyranny and treason against the American people over the last 3.5 years and is about to take it to the next level in order to preserve the power that they have. Now, you all must consider something. It doesn't matter how many times an emergency is declared. During an emergency, you lose almost all of your powers, okay, or all of your rights. But when the emergency is over, they tell you you get them all back. That's never the case. You may get 90%. You may get 95%, but you're so glad to see all of those freedoms and liberties come back that you don't really check to see what didn't come back. What we are looking at today, yes, could end up by being the end of American rights and the end of American liberties if we allow what may happen going forward to happen. And right. It may all end in a nuclear war. Who knows?
Yeah, and I'm not saying it will, but
I'm not either.
A distinct possibility. Yes. Whereas, like I said in my initial room, this conspiracy has been around for a while. But now it's different. As you know, I coined the term fascocrats. There are literally 28 planks of the National Socialist Deutschland Arbeiter Party in the DNC platform today. That's not speculation. That's not my feelings. You could go to DuckDuckGo and bring up the NSDAP Communist Manifesto and the DNC platform, and they are virtually identical because this is not the 1930s, people.
No.
The Nazi socies were fighting the Moscow commies. They're all one and the same now. They all have the same goals now.
Well, the people that have those goals are the people who own and control them. And that's an elitist caste. And that's the very top of the entire pyramid. But let's focus on something else.
And first, as Monty Python would say, and now for something completely different.
And it is completely different, because what I want you to do is, for those who don't know about your first book, for those who don't know about your second book, and for people like me who don't know a whole lot about your third book, I would like you to take some time now and go over each one of them, what they are, the reason you wrote them, and one of them's pretty damn obvious, isn't it? Yeah, how to write a book and get it published. I mean, it's not going to take a whole. But go over your three books. Let people know what they are, because they can go to the Liberty Beacon and read the articles you write, which are great. This gentleman here gives an article to the Liberty Beacon for publication every single Saturday. So if you want to listen, or if you want to read what Joseph thinks, okay, strap yourself in. Yep. Put on your goggles and read Joe's article.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not afraid to piss off a friendly audience at times.
Like, all right, well, tell us about your book. I don't think that's going to piss anybody off.
Yeah, I'm always principles, not personalities, like the one piece or two pieces that I'm about to agree with a Democrat, sort of. Yeah, people probably not too happy that I even partially would ever side with a fascocrat. But anyway, yeah, nobody in this audience, including you, Roger, would have a clue about my first novel, which was The Gestapo Kidnap File. I am the holder of 3 dozen copyrights, but my first internationally published book is Terror Strikes Coming Soon to a City Near You, as you mentioned it. And I started actually writing it in 2006 during Obama and the notion of the left, the fascocrats, having more in common with terrorists and the Taliban wanting to destroy Western culture than U.S. citizens. It didn't quite come together. So I put it to the side, and boy, am I glad I did. And it was actually based, most of my pieces come to me in a dream. I don't feel like these books are from me, they're of me, but they're through me. They come from another source. And that dream came back in 2021, and I woke up, now I get it. It wasn't right for then. But given the Wuhan hysteria, fear porn, terrorism left the airwaves. It's not as if terrorists took their AK-47s, melted them down into plowshares, right? It's been here all that time. You're just not hearing about a lot of it covered up in the news, like the LAX terror attack on the power station that shut down LAX for 2 days. You don't hear about it.
No, but at the same time, we've got limited time, and you got three books to go over. So if you go off on politics, you ain't going to get these books done.
Yeah, but the point being, now 2022 was the perfect time to release that and point out the fact that, yes. Terror strikes coming soon to a city near you can happen anytime, any place. It's not just New York or Madrid or Tokyo or Toronto, like I go into chapters in the book. Anytime, any place, they're looking for softer, easier targets. Yeah. They hate us, but they're not stupid. Another 9/11 would provoke another all-out war. And despite the notion of murder-suicide vest terrorists, the terror leaders want to live. So they want a death by a thousand cuts. And again, the main point in the book that the left doesn't like, and why they try to cancel me and my book, is that American fascocrats hate America and are trying to destroy us from within. So that's that one. Yeah, and the
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I need to tell everybody something, okay? It gets much more dangerous from here. No, I'm kidding.
But, yeah, I did a lot of interviews, of course, to promote that book. And invariably, a lot of interviewers would say, come back and just discuss the writing and publishing process. And what am I going to say? No, of course I'm going to go back on. And I did that. So after a dozen of those, I went on Amazon and looked. Yeah, there's a bazillion how to get your book onto Amazon books. But there isn't really a how to write a book and get it published, hints, tips, and techniques that take you from the concept into the writing, including scene and character development, to what are your realistic publishing options, including but not limited to Amazon, as well as what do you do once it's published? You're not done. You're, of course, entering the marketing and promotion stage and what to expect from reviews. You know, so I try to give you everything. And you don't have to be someone interested in writing and publishing to enjoy this book. As a reviewer said of How to Write a Book and Get It Published, Hints, Tips, and Techniques, the book is written more like a novel than a self-help guide. And that is by design. Because if you're an avid reader, what did an author go through to get a book available for you to buy?
Wait a minute. That sounds like a novel idea.
I thought it was. So think of it, if you have no interest in writing and publishing, think of it as a tell-all. But I don't drop any Kardashian.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm going to jump in here because you and I discussed this. We did one other show about this a while back. And what you and I discussed, we'll hit on that again, okay? I told you I have written close to 2,000 articles. And you told me, you know what? That would make it rather easy to write a book or to put a book together. That's... Now, you told me just – pick a topic, pick a timeline, you know, maybe 15 or 20 articles that run from, you know, this year to this year, whatever, so that it's all, you know, coordinated, and then put a little bit of text in between each one of those articles. You literally walked me through and you told me that I could write a lot of books with all of the articles I had published. I didn't even think about that till I had a conversation with you.
Or a podcaster, any podcasters out there. Take 10 shows, have them transcribed into text, cut and paste them as a chapter, then clean them up, of course, and then add what
an interface between each one.
What was missed in that show? If I was doing that show again today, what would I add? What would I might take out? What was missed? Again, you got a ready-made book. Yeah. You just cut and paste most of it.
My third book
is that way, but let me finish the thought on the think, not a tell-all, but a behind the scenes. What does an author go through? That if you're an avid reader, all those books on your shelf, how did they get there? How to Write a Book and Get It Published, Hints, Tips, and Techniques provide you an insight you get nowhere else.
I not only agree with that, but I'm going to tell y'all something else. I mean, as far as all of you out there thinking like myself, okay, I've written so many articles. Stop and think about it. Your first thought is going to be, do I have enough to make a book? If you have written 2,000 articles, not a joke, and each one contains 1,000 words, okay, stop and think, okay? That's 2 million words. Yeah. That's more than you've got in the Encyclopedia Britannica.
I was just going to say that. You've got your own Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah, what anyone
who's written 10 articles has got a ready-made book. It doesn't have to be 500, 700, 900 War and Peace length novel. And I used my very cheat Hint, Tips, and Techniques to put together my third book,
which is
Christitutionalist Politics, Christitutionalist trademark pending. All right. In June, I started Christitutionalist Politics. I've been the co-host of Savaged Unfiltered podcast for a year and a half-ish. June, I decided I'm starting Christitutionalist Politics, a Christian broadcast for Christians discussing politics from a voting biblically standpoint.
And then constitutional standpoint, Christitutionalist.
Hence the term. Christa as in Christos, but not spelled with an X. It would confuse too many people to go full Greek. But Christos Mas, right? Christitutionalist. Christian U.S.-based constitutionalist, Christitutionalist, a new perspective to bring Christians together, skip the left-right, skip the liberal-conservative, skip the Democrat-Republican, fellow Christians, if you're a real Christian, not a fake one that twists and distorts the Bible to fit your worldview, right, but getting your worldview right with your actual faith. All the Bible, the whole Bible in full context, things we then can agree on and work towards those things. And I immediately planned a book. And indeed, August 11th, I just started the podcast in June. August 11th, bam, my book dropped. I took the Liberty Beacon articles, as well as Christitutionalist podcast shows, put them all together in a book. And I'm planning Christitutionalist Politics 2 for summer of 2024 to influence the 2024 election. And this is why it's aimed at Christians. It is said, and again, I'm talking to real Christians, not the fake Pelosi Biden types. 30 million or ish Christians not even registered to vote. And another 10, 15 million registered that don't vote. Well, if you get off your ass, because you shall be known by your fruits, that means your actions, not your virtue signaling. Voting is a necessary action. If you get off your ass and vote, they can't even cheat enough to defeat us.
Wait, hold on a second. I'm going to back you up on that. What most people do not understand is that in 2016, the rigging was every bit as, I don't know, rampant as it was in 2020. Why did Trump still win? First off, they totally underestimated how many people actually hated Hillary. And believe it or not, this is not my words, they underestimated how many people would vote for Trump. So even with, and this is provable, the massive vote rigging in 2016, Trump still won. Had there been no rigging, it would have been the biggest landslide in American presidential election history.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't I've been involved in politics since my teenage years, since 1978. I was involved with help get Reagan elected. It was part of that Reagan revolution. Okay. And I say that to say this is that there aren't really a whole lot of, it isn't really red state, blue state. It's red county, blue county. Really, a lot of states that are blue because of a major metropolitan county.
Cities.
Yes.
Cities. Yes.
Right? That override the rest of the state. We have that in Michigan. Michigan, for a long time, was a purplish red, but still purple state. And it always comes down to Wayne County. Now, with the rigging and the redistricting and everything, Michigan is definitely a blue state. It is an uphill climb to turn it reddish purple, let alone red. Because a lot of people look at Michigan and say, well, look at that map. There's 86 counties. Damn near 90% of them are red. Well, landmass doesn't vote people. People vote. And the county of Wayne has the most votes. I wrote a piece years ago on Before It's News about this, about the key to winning Michigan. Statewide is Wayne County. You don't have to win Wayne County, but you can't foolishly write it off. You must have 28% of Wayne County to win. Trump had 28.5% of Wayne County, barely won Michigan by 11,000 votes in 2016, proving my point. And I know you hate the use of that word, but
yeah, please.
That I had to use that emphasis. You've got to fight in the cities. You're not going to win them. That's not the point. That's not the goal. You cannot lose by 90% and win the state. But my point here is that it comes down to key blue cities in most states, even reddish ones, right? And whether we fight there and lose by only a certain amount to in order to be able to control. The battleground comes down to 6-7 battleground states and really only 20 battleground counties in the entire nation goes the way they go.
All right, look, I'm sorry to cut you off, and actually I didn't, but we're about to close down here, and there were a couple of other things I wanted to bring up today, but we're not going to be able to do that. Look, I appreciate everything you've said. The next time you and I do a show, it's going to have to be the entire show, which gives us a bigger platform. I just had information I needed to put out. I do appreciate the fact that you had the time to explain your books. I would like everybody to go to the bottom of any one of Joe's articles on the Liberty Beacon. You will find his two books there. And as soon as the other one is up to the point where it can be sold, it will also be at the bottom of his articles.
It's on sale now as of August 11th. You can go to Amazon. You can go to terrorstrikes.info/shop and get them all direct from me.
Just give me the links or whatever so I can be sure to put that in the articles, okay? This is what I'm telling everybody. One place they can go to find this information. And that's at the bottom, will be at the bottom of every article. His last two are at the bottom of every article. So you always have a place where you can go and find how to get to his articles. I appreciate the discussion. I really do. Again, I wish we had more time. My issue here is that when you have a guest – you need to let that guest get his word out. Everybody listening to Roger's shows knows how hard it is for Roger to shut up for as long as I do when I have a guest on that I respect, like yourself, okay? But what I am appreciative of is the fact that what you said not only made a lot of sense, but it added to the discussion. Let's wrap this up this way. Anybody who believes at this point in time that America is just going through a little burp and that everything's going to be fine next year or the year after, what you need to do is step back and look. The tyranny caused in America in the last 3 to 4 years, never mind what was caused since 9/11, because we have been on a steady ramp up of tyranny. 9/11 was the catalyst. It was what originated it. What we are looking at today in the last 3 years is tyranny beyond anything we have ever suffered. If you believe that those who hold power would not step up to start a war with Russia in order to cancel the elections, then you haven't been paying much attention.
Absolutely.
This is where we are today.
I had to write Christitutionalist Politics. My fellow Christians, wake the bleep up. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Pray and turn from your wicked ways. I shall hear from heaven and heal your land. Well, turn from your wicked ways implies an action. As I said, you shall be known by your fruits. You can't just whine. You've got to act. You've got to help turn us from our wicked ways for the Lord to then intervene and heal our land. The Obama years were one thing.
Yeah.
The Biden years are Obama on steroids.
I totally agree. And again, we've got less than a minute, so I would like to tell everybody that, well, why don't you tell them where they can go to find your work?
Yeah, again, obviously, thelibertybeacon.com, Joseph M. Leonard. It's not French. It looks like Leonard. It's Leonard without an O, and Joseph M. Leonard, because there is a Joseph Leonard that's an author out of North Carolina. And you can go to Joseph M. Leonard, again, no O, .us, terrorstrikes.info/shop is the best place to buy the books direct from me.
Okay, I'm talking about where your articles are. They're on the Liberty Beacon and where else?
And beforeitsnews.com, a few other places on occasion. But yeah, my main two sites are Before It's News and the Liberty Beacon.
All right, look, I'm sorry, but we're out of time. I wish we would have had
more. And there's exclusive on both sites, so you want to go to both.
Okay, look, I got to say goodbye, okay? I do appreciate your time. I do. And if I sound a little stressed, it's that we're at the limit. I've got to say goodbye. And next time we'll have more time.
There's more. There's more.
Well, why did I know he was going to do that?
Love you, brother.
All right, Steve. What do you say here?
I say it's the end. So see everyone next week.